Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I've made a lot of mistakes, but I think I did the best thing.
You are so fat. You are such a lousy mother. You are so impatient. Why don't you get your act together?
Oh, why don't you get over that mother complex?
What can I do?
I've got a special purpose!
I'm Jim Byrne. Well, there once was a time in our culture when the role of women was pretty clearly defined. Of course, here in the modern era, well, that's all changed. Women have a lot more opportunities available to them. But with these opportunities also has come a lingering sense of self-doubt among women. The gnawing fear that their lives are out of sync and really lacking focus and direction. Well, if you're a woman who feels that way, I have good news for you. And during the next half hour, I want to talk to you about connecting your to-do list, your passions, and God's purpose for your life. Let's look at how you can become a purpose-driven woman next on Homeward.
And from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Byrne. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part one of Jim's conversation with author Katie Brazelton. Dr. Brazelton has written a number of books on helping women find their place and find their purpose in life. And we're going to talk about being a woman of purpose here on today's edition of the program. Before we begin, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you. We appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support. We've had some wonderful calls even just this week from Homeward listeners thanking us for the resources that we provide, and I want to thank you for letting us know that we're helping you. Drop us a line anytime at homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Byrnes. Today we're talking with Dr. Katie Brazelton. She is a licensed minister at Saddleback Church. She was the Women's Bible Study Director, also at this great church, Saddleback Church, with Rick Warren. Earned PhD in human behavior, along with three, count them, three master's degrees. She's working on a fourth. She's recently completed what is now a best-selling book. It's called Pathway to Purpose for Women. Katie, welcome to our program.
Hi, Jim.
This has kind of been a process of at least 15 years from brokenness to the beauty of where God has taken you. Is that right?
It is that kind of a story. Actually, my husband that I met in our college years said he was leaving the marriage, and I found myself a divorced woman with my kids gone a lot to their dad's house, and looked around at the smaller home and said, I'm lost, I'm lonely, I'm actually bored, I'm afraid. And now, God, what could you possibly do with a woman my age who's got not much going on anymore?
And yet you went through a journey, and you talk about this in the book, you went through a journey of finding purpose. And in that purpose, you found meaning and you found ministry and in many ways, a deeper relationship with your children and friendships.
Yes, it is a journey. It is a process. It is definitely an adventure of a lifetime. And until you take the first step, it's hard to imagine the difference in the old life and the new life.
Right. Now, many women listening to this are saying, you know what, fine for her, but I'm just trying to get by. I mean, I don't have much purpose, but I also don't have much energy to find my purpose. What do you say to that woman?
Well, the beauty of that is that our purpose is today first. And so we need to just relax and enjoy what we're asked to do by God today. And that is not easy, but when we know that God honors that and will bless that, it gave me great peace.
You know, you became a certified life planner. I'm quite familiar with that incredible opportunity that people have. Somebody will meet with you and then you kind of help them work through their life plan. When that happens, what's the process of helping a person, you know, from the time they meet with you to the time, you know, you're done with this life plan process? What are they going to experience? Give us an example.
Well, it's about 18 easel sheets that are going to, or pieces of paper that are going to fly up onto the walls over 2 days of asking standard questions and then becoming a recording artist to just wordsmith the answers onto paper. I'll never forget when Shondell Holliday, Pastor Rick Warren's sister, my dear, dear friend, was in my living room for a life plan, and I frankly was frustrated because I couldn't help her see what I already saw. She just wouldn't admit that she did have a great purpose in life. So I went to the refrigerator, opened it up, and just said, what would you like to drink? And kind of breathed and gave up. And all of a sudden, she she just screamed, "Oh my gosh, I see it, I've got it." And so it's a great experience.
That really is a great experience. And people, I recommend that people take a look at your book, because I think they can really help them learn their life plan as they begin to work through the process of this purpose.
Yes, as Kay Warren says in the foreword to the book series, that I was just a friend who walked alongside her and helped her see some things. And you know what, Jim? I never even remember what I say to these women. Most of the time, God relieves me of that sense of my responsibility, and he takes over, and they just go on and do what they heard God tell them to do.
Well, what kind of counsel do you give the woman who asks you a question like, you know, why am I not happy? Or if I actually did hear God's call, would I have the time or really the emotional strength to pursue it?
Well, for the woman who says, why am I not happy, we have to ask her, what is it in her life that is clouding what I would refer to as the joy or the peacefulness? Because we all seek happiness, but what we're really looking for is the deep-seated joy. And purpose helps us discover that joy.
That's right. How do you do that when, you know, a husband's left you, or you have a kid who's sick, or, you know, you have a mother or a mother-in-law who's, you know, some kind of a needy problem?
You survive, actually, and you try to put the past behind you as soon as you can. But chapter 3 focuses on the fact that we do today what we're called into the world to do today, and that God will give us credit, so to speak. He does honor the fact that we're minding our business for the moment.
Now, Katie, you have a story. It's a story of a story that many women have. You married your college sweetheart. You had a couple of kids. I happen to know your son, Andy, and I think he's one of the most wonderful people around. And then you found yourself going through a divorce in your mid-30s. What was that like?
Devastating. I was lonely, sad, confused, worried, all of the above.
How did that experience prepare you for what you're doing today at Saddleback Church, as well as for this book, Pathway to Purpose?
That experience leveled me out to almost zero, where I felt I had nothing left. You know, I wasn't a mom hardly anymore, because the kids were so enjoying being with their dad, and he was taking very good care of them on his weekends, and felt like I had less homework to do with them, less clothes to buy. He was purchasing their clothes for them. And I was not a wife, so what was I? And it leveled me to realize that I am a child of God. I am a daughter of the King. But it took 15 years to figure that out.
Well, what was kind of the pathway? I mean, how did you get that kind of insight? I think there's a lot of women who might be saying, you know what, life isn't good right now, and I don't have the emotional strength. I mean, this lady must be incredible. She has her PhD. She has this or that. I'm just trying to get by. I mean, what was your personal pathway that brought you to a place where, you know, today you can communicate this message to women?
Actually, it was a videotape that my mother gave me of Mother Teresa, watching her do the work in the slums. And then my mom and I got on a plane and accidentally met Mother Teresa.
Accidentally met Mother Teresa. Tell us the story.
Well, I never dreamed it would happen. I just knew that I had to go to Calcutta to meet the Missionaries of Charity, to hear about why and how God works with them, and how their faithfulness encourages blessings in their lives. In the meantime, we walk in the front door of the convent, and a young novice says to us, "Would you like to meet Mother now?" And so we went upstairs and met her.
Wow. What was that like?
It was like looking at a giant oak tree. Now, and you know how small she is, or just a tiny woman, barefoot, and bowing to us, so humbled the fact that this, what I would consider a saint, was bowing toward us. And yet I looked at her, and oaks of righteousness came flooding into my mind, the Isaiah 61:3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor.
You know, in many ways, when you look at somebody like a Mother Teresa and others, you see kind of an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. And I know in your book you talk about discovering God kind of in the ordinary. Help us understand that comment and how that's helped you.
It's when we realize that we are ordinary, we're broken, we're sinners, we're simply trying to get by, and then we begin to see that the extraordinary God would like to do a work in us. That's the miracle.
Yeah. And yet, again, what you're finding in your life planning experiences, you were at one time the women's Bible study director at Saddleback Church. In these experiences, you've got to be finding that there's a lot of discouragement, too.
It's running rampant in women. It breaks my heart. I thought that I had to find my life purpose, which would be to help fight a cause, you know, pornography or the likes of something of that nature. When I realized that I was being asked to plant seedlings and to help grow and nurture something for the Lord, and now I get the privilege of helping women uncover what their one thing is. What is it that they're meant to do for God? But first we have to be for God, actually. And so I still have my one thing, which is helping the homeless. That's a tremendous blessing to my life. But I just can't believe that God would allow me to have struggled so much in finding purpose that now I get to help others.
What's the process that you go through to find this one thing?
It is a stepping stone pattern. First, you're learning to love others and listen to God and surrender your life and do acts of service. And then, as you mature in the Lord and grow in character, you are actually learning what all those things have been leading up to. Who you have fallen in love with particularly, what group of person or type of cause is tugging at your heartstrings, where you enjoy serving, how your passions fit in, why it's easy for you to surrender. And then the puzzle pieces start to come together as to your one unique reason you were born.
And what you're saying is that you can help people find that as they begin to kind of talk through what excites them, what's their passion.
Yes, I believe that God gives us the desires of our hearts because He put those desires in our heart before we were ever born. And therefore, we need to honor those instead of saying, well, God couldn't possibly want me to do that because it's too much fun. I don't deserve it, or I'm the guilty person. Yes, if it's a godly endeavor, it easily could be that Creator of the universe designed you to actually go down that pathway.
You know, the Bible says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Today we're talking with Dr. Katie Brazelton. We're talking about purpose-driven women.
And being a woman of purpose. Definitely a good theme for us to be discussing today here on the Homeward Broadcast. This is actually, we're back in the archives again. This is a conversation that Jim recorded with Dr. Katie Brazelton a couple of years ago when the book was just first coming out. But we're rebroadcasting it again today because especially this time of year, this is a good time for every one of us to do kind of a personal reevaluation, reassessment, and Katie Brazelton is giving us some good tips. By the way, if you missed the first segment, you can always go back to homeward.com if you're not there already. We're streaming audio here at homeward.com. Podcast along with us as well. You can do that through iTunes. The subscription is absolutely free. Go to homeward.com and just hit the podcast button. It'll take you right to iTunes and you can set up that account absolutely free. And then that way you can listen to the Homeward program as you choose. I read something earlier this week that talked about how moms live their days in 10-minute intervals. Well, you can listen to the Homeward broadcast that way as well. Our podcast is absolutely free. Start that today at homeward.com. And now, once again, here's Dr. Jim Burns with part two of today's program.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about the purpose-driven woman. We're talking with Dr. Katie Brazelton. She's the author of Pathway to Purpose for Women. She is a licensed minister at Saddleback Church, the church that Rick Warren, who is now kind of America's pastor, is there. You were talking about going to see Mother Teresa, but you also had an experience where you also went to meet with a Nobel Peace Prize person. Talk about that story.
Her name was Marid Corrigan McGuire from Ireland. She and Betty William Smith had tried to stop the war in Belfast. And I read about her one day in a library and said, oh my goodness, I've already met Mother Teresa, one Nobel Peace Laureate. Let me give this another shot. If I'm looking for peace, and I know peace has something to do with purpose, then maybe Marid can help me. And so I grabbed my mother that time reluctantly. She didn't want to go on that trip and said, we're going to Belfast to talk with Marid.
What did you learn from Marid?
I learned one fact, and it took me about, I don't know, at least 5 or 10 years to figure it out, but I eventually learned from her that peace and purpose are connected, that in order to discover your purpose, you need to relax and enjoy and breathe and dance more, have the sound of music in your ears, for a cliche. And the way we find peace is through prayer and solitude and silence and downtime. So it was a turning point for me to be able to figure out that the busyness and noisiness of my life was preventing and blocking my purpose.
Let's talk about busyness and the noise of life, because really one of the bigger problems in America is this breathless pace we're living our lives. What kind of suggestion do you say to a mom or to a dad, frankly, who really is living their life at too fast of a pace? They have so much going on. What do you say to them? I mean, how do they just stop? I mean, they've got soccer games and they've got homework and all these other types of things. How do they stop and get into a mode of solitude?
It is. Everybody wants a piece of us, and it's a hectic lifestyle. And it's easy for me now with grown kids to look back and say, I shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, sure.
So forgive me for that. But all I can tell you is that it's a choice. It's priorities. It's a decision to not sign up for one more thing. Because what I've discovered is the reason we do that to ourselves is because we're people pleasers, or we have the wrong motives, or we feel guilty, and we just don't need to get caught up in all of everyone else's agendas for our lives.
Now, looking at your message, really, which is in your book called Pathway to Purpose for Women, one of the first steps is to leave the past behind. And you have a past. You've been through a divorce, and it wasn't easy. It sounds like, in terms of the way divorces go, yours has not been as difficult as some. But the whole idea of leaving the past behind, why do you see this is so important if you're going to move forward with your purpose?
If we do not, it continues to break us. The regrets and the concerns over what happened to us keeps us looking back over our shoulders. We're not able to focus forward. When my sister Maureen first got me into the marathon running, she told me I had to put my tennis shoes on, and then I had to go one house. Then come the mile markers, and then comes the fact that someone is pacing us and coaching us along.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Sure. Yeah. You know, so many times I think that is the case, that we are so much filled with the pain of a past that we're not willing just to, put on our tennis shoes, or figuratively speaking, and start to move forward. You talk about unpacking your past, and you've got some principles that I think are really helpful to our listeners.
Yes. Actually, what I believe helps is if we write out our pain, just get it on paper, and if we recall a time that we were healed, and if we surround ourselves with what I call hopeful people, then the biggest question of all is to ask, to whom will my hurt give hope? So that we focus on other folks rather than ourselves all the time.
What do you mean, to whom will my hurt give hope? What do you mean by that?
What will my depression, and this is real right here, my depression, my hopelessness, my divorce, my downsizing from corporate, how do those experiences help another woman make it through the next day?
So give us an illustration, a personal illustration, if you don't mind, how those experiences in your own life help somebody else move on.
After my daughter was born, I found myself sitting in my pink bathrobe in a rocking chair crying day and night for 3 days until I actually was told to get some help, and looking at the clock and saying, "Dear God, if you love me, get me through the next second." And that depression lasted 6 months. Well, now, you know what, Jim? I know depression. I know what it takes to pull me out of it and to avoid it. I know the flip side of it, that shopping sprees and things like that, the manic, that is not any fun either for us.
When a woman comes to you, and there are so many women today who are struggling with depression, 10 million, and they come to you and they say, I know that you've been willing to talk about your depression, give me some hope. What do you say to them?
Get help, hang on, watch all the logical things about what you're eating and, doing to your body, get rest, take naps. Take the bubble baths. Just continue to, with professional help and medicine as needed, to leave no stone unturned. We don't have to stay depressed once we're aware of it and we surround ourselves with a support system.
That actually is very smart. And you talked about a support system, and just a little earlier you said surround yourself with hopeful people. How do you do that? Who do you find? Where are those hopeful people out there?
Well, there's those who suck the life out of you, and there's those who make you laugh and smile and encourage you. And I'm picturing three or four of my dearest girlfriends right now. They stand beside me even when I'm faltering, when I don't know my middle name, when I'm confused about decisions, and they pray for me. They care about me.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we talk about on Homeward periodically is we have very draining people. We also have very inspiring people. And it's really up to us to be proactive about finding those very inspiring people who are going to do what these girlfriends do for you.
And I look for smart, funny, holy women. I've said that for many, many years. Smart, funny, holy women. That's the kind I...
Smart, funny, and holy. That's uh-huh. great. And it sounds like there can be... Not only do we need to find those kinds of people in our lives, but we also sometimes need to be those people for others as
Absolutely.
Well. Because that, in many ways, that helps us with the healing process, don't you think?
Yes, what goes around comes around.
Sure. In your book, you talk about serving. And caring, and really, in many ways, that gets you out of the depression or the funk that, you know, sometimes you're involved with, just in terms of daily life, too, when you kind of get out of yourself and serve others.
Yes, I, in Calcutta, found myself serving in the home for mentally ill women, and I was really going to Calcutta to get away from the sadness and the pain of life, and here I am being asked to what I thought was wash feet of these mentally ill women, and yet later I discovered I was to clip toenails. And that changed my life. That helped me understand that it isn't all about me and my sadness, that there are people worse off.
You know, Katie, there is a woman today, maybe a man as well, who's been listening to our conversation about purpose and saying, I really am hopeless. What kind of words of hope and comfort would you give them right now? Because they're saying, fine for her, but I need a word of hope right now.
Take the first step, which is believing that God has a plan for your life and that your birth was meaningful, that he has something for you to do, and to bite the bullet and then to do the hard things for today. If the hard thing is healing, then to do whatever it takes, to especially the first step, that's the hardest, to heal today so you can go on for tomorrow, but to look forward to the bright future of the times when it won't be quite so rough.
Great words of advice and hope from Dr. Katie Brazelton. Katie, can you come back next time so we can continue this conversation? I want to talk about the practical ways to find purpose in our life. Can you come back next time?
Well, I would love to.
Great. Thank you so much. Really good words of hope and advice as we talk about being a purpose-driven woman. We're talking today with Dr. Katie Brazelton.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Brazelton on this theme of being a woman of purpose. We'll hear part two on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast, which if you are podcasting along with us, you may already have loaded into your iPod or MP3 player. We encourage you to do that. And remember that Homeward is completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. We rely on your prayers and also faithful financial support. Thanks for dropping us a line at homeward.com. You can give a gift online there. Our website's absolutely secure. Or you can write to us. Your gift of $50 or $100, even $500 or more go a long way toward helping the ministry continue to grow and serve you right now. You can write to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
One of my favorite scriptures is found in Psalm 119, 105, and it simply says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I love that scripture. You know, so many times our lives are cluttered. And I think as Katie was talking today, she was talking about her life being cluttered. She had so much going for her, but it's just cluttered. And sometimes we lose our focus and sometimes we lose our way. And I love this story that was just recently on one of our daily devotional emails. A ship is on a collision course with another ship, it looks like, and the battleship's captain radioed to the unknown ship and said, "Advise you change course 20 degrees to avoid collision." Well, someone on the radio from the other side said, "Advise you change course 20 degrees to avoid collision." Well, the battleship's captain was not amused, and he radioed. He said, "I am a ship's captain, and furthermore, it's a battleship. You change course 20 degrees now." Well, then came another reply, "I'm a seaman, second class, and I advise you to change course 20 degrees now." Well, the captain was furious at this point. He said, "This is a battleship. I order you to change course 20 degrees immediately." And the seaman radioed back, "I'm a lighthouse." And, you know, it's funny, but the fact of the matter is sometimes we lose our way. There is the light of Christ, and we just simply lose our way. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And if we can keep our faith in him, and if we can keep our focus in him, then the joy and the purpose of life will be so much better. I appreciate all that Katie said, and we need to remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that lighthouse out there, that path, if you would, will be much clearer when we focus on God and when we focus on his word. And sometimes we just need some good help, good old-fashioned help from others, and I think Katie Brazelton can give us some of that great help with her book.
It's a good resource. It's one we highly recommend, and you can learn more about it when you go to homeward.com. Also, if you're not at our online resource center already, go to homeward.com. Check us out. We've got lots of materials there, lots of resources. You can learn more about the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. That comes up on the banner of our website, our online resource center. Also, articles, tip sheets. The articles and media section has video clips and audio clips that are free to look at. Just spend hours browsing our website. And remember that Homeward is here to equip you, to give parents real answers for what we're facing in the world today. They're not always perfect. They're not always easy. And sometimes you're going to look at that and say, boy, that didn't work for us. But more often than not, just getting the dialogue going, getting the conversation started. You're going to find conversation starters when you go to homeward.com for building your faith and also building more harmony in your home. So check us out online today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.